Just in case the U.S. didn't already have a transitory hyperinflation problem, gasoline futures soared more than 4% and are likely to jump much more late on Sunday after the Colonial Pipeline announced, that while some smaller lateral lines between terminals and delivery points are now operational, its main lines, line 1, 2, 3, and 4, remain offline since late Friday after the completely suffered a crippling cyber attack that affected its key IT systems. So what is gas now? So I just traveled to mother-in-law's house over the river and through the woods to mother-in-law's house we go. What do we pay? $2.80? About $2.80 here in Louisiana. That's $1.20 more than it was the day Trump was, the day the Biden regime and the coup took over and the day Trump was kicked out of Mordor. So it's $1.20 since January the 20th or so. That's a chump change, though, right? You know, you've got your stimulus, porculus, succubus. You got plenty of money hanging around there. Look, if you just sold a house, you're practically a millionaire. Do you know at the Chevron station that we stopped at to mainly stock up on the world's greatest stuffed boudin balls, stuffed fried boudin balls from Billy's. Regular old, good old-fashioned gas line eating, internal combustion engine destroying ethanol-laced fuel was $2.80. If you take the ethanol out and you just buy good old-fashioned gas that doesn't have any ethanol in it, $3.80. Let's see, continue on with the pipeline story. Here is an update from 9, late yesterday afternoon. On May the 7th, Colonial Pipeline learned it was victim of a cybersecurity attack and has since determined that the incident involved ransomware. Now, what's ransomware? This is interesting. What is ransomware? Ransomware means they infect your computer system with something that can debilitate it, maybe even destroy it, or certainly keep it from functioning correctly. And if you want them to remove it, you got to pay the ransom. You're being blackmailed. This almost sounds like some kind of a crime to me. But again, we have agencies that are supposed to be doing things to prevent this from happening. In bold print near the bottom of the story, the Colonial Pipeline Operations Team is developing a system restart plan while our main lines remain offline. Some smaller lateral lines between terminals and delivery points are now operational. Meanwhile, back to the story, downstream customers, which includes pretty much the entire eastern coast, are starting to freak out as they face a new week without the primary source of gasoline supply for hundreds of millions of customers. This whole energy grid transportation federally regulated and controlled system seems to me to be pretty stupid. Let me give you an example. Did you know that off the coast of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, you don't have to go very far out, maybe 10 miles or so, there are massive deposits of oil beneath the surface of the Atlantic Ocean. Did you know that? Now, of course, we're told, yeah, but we don't want any oil exploration off of our coast because there may be a leak and it'll mess our beaches up. Oh, okay, but it's okay to have oil exploration off of our coast because nobody gives a rat's furry behind about Texas coast or Louisiana coast or Mississippi coast or Alabama coast. That's just fine and dandy. I'll give you another example. Off the state of Florida, they could be drilling for massive amounts of oil, but we're told Because every time there's an oil well out in the Gulf, or any time there's a Gulf, there's an oil well that's offshore, they always blow up and leak and kill everything within 1,000 million square bazillion miles. Is that true? Well, if that were true, it seemed like it would get really expensive to drill for oil offshore, right? My question is then, why don't you people in Atlanta and in Morador, or near Morador, and in New Tenochtitlan, why don't you make your own gas? Ah, but this is the infamous NIMBY syndrome. Not in my backyard. No, no, you southern hick hayseed losers, you need to suffer all of the damages from cancer and all that stuff from infecting your water supply and make gas for us so that we don't have to. So they hate our guts. They despise everything about us. They make fun of us all the time. Yet, when they need gasoline, they's all down with being Southerners. Should Colonial be unable to bring his pipeline back online, which, as a reminder, were hacked by a ransomware group called DarkSide. According to Alan Liska, senior threat analyst at cybersecurity firm Recorded Future, there is no telling how high prices will shoot up as Colonial supplies nearly half the coast, half the East Coast supply of gasoline. On Friday, the national average stood at $2.96 a gallon, according to the Auto Club AAA, and with national gasoline inventories ample, the pump price wasn't expected to tick much higher until Memorial Day at the end of this month. And then there's more on the... There is some good news. You go to, towards the end of the story. The terminus of the pipeline, New Tenochtitlan, was well-stocked with fuel ahead of the attack. You know why? Because people still are afraid to leave their houses. They're sitting in there cowering indoors. But don't waiter drivers have to gas their cars up? East Coast gasoline stockpiles at the end of April were near 5-year seasonal averages. Of course, a lengthy shutdown would mean gasoline shortages, the likes of which have not been seen since the 1970s. Then you have this. I think the big topic of the day is inflation. There's not much any of us can do to avoid it, unless you are completely food and commodity self-sufficient. We're all going to suffer some manner of inflation or from inflation. Here's another headline. What will you do when inflation forces U.S. households to spend 40% of their incomes on food? Did you know that the price of corn has risen 142% in the last 12 months?
Listen to the Mike Church Show, you would know that.
Yes, if you had been listening to the Mike Church Show, you'd know. It went to $7, and then last week it went in April and went to $7 a bushel. And May, futures are at $9 a bushel. That's coming up from $3 a bushel. That has not made its way into the food supply yet. And the reason it hasn't is because those are futures. Okay. So it's yet to be shipped. So if a future is a 90-day future, say, and you're on a commodity market and you're buying corn for your cornflakes or Chex Mix cereal or whatever, you're going to need, you're saying like in 90 days, I think I'm going to need 4 million bushels to make Kellogg's cereals or whatever. So then you will make a bid and then you will take delivery in 90 days. And that's when you'll have to pay for it. So they haven't paid for the increase in the raw goods needed to make things yet. It will come. So since we're dealing with 60 and 90 day commodities, and April was the first big spike month, that would mean then in June, you should start to see, and then in July is when it'll really hit, massive increases in food prices, anything that's related to the commodity that is corn. And unfortunately, have you ever heard of high fructose corn syrup? The major sweetener that's in almost every commercial GMO-addled crap product that you can think of is high fructose corn syrup. It's awful for your body. You should avoid it like the proverbial plague if you can. Anything that's made with high fructose corn syrup is going to through the roof. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. So if you think the food prices are bad right now, just wait, because they're going to get a whole lot worse, writes Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog. Typically, Americans spend approximately 10% of their disposable income personal incomes on food. Following comes directly from the USDA website. In 2019, Americans spent an average of 9.5% of their disposable personal incomes on food. Divided between food at home and food away from home, blah, 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 blah. Needless to say, the poorest Americans spend more on their incomes than food. According to the USDA, the poorest households spend an average of 36% on their disposable personal incomes on food in 2019. After their incomes rise, households spent more money on food, but it represents a smaller overall budget share. Bah, 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 bah. That would mean that many poor households would end up spending, this is getting back to the narrative, well over 50% of their personal disposable incomes just on food. Now, it would seem to me like you would try and cut out Mickey D's and other all sorts of bad for you anyway, fast foods, to try to rein some of that spending in. And we already told you corn prices have jumped 142% over the past year. In other areas, well, now they say that right now it's at $7.56 a barrel, but I know I saw a trade the other day for $9 a bushel. I said barrel, I meant bushel. In other areas, we're seeing more moderate inflation, but overall, we just witnessed the largest increase in food inflation in almost 9 years. The average prices in March of 2021 for pork chops and chickens, chicken breasts were up both more than 10% compared to March of 2020. Eggs and cheddar cheese are up 6%. Meanwhile, the price of lumber just continues to go through the roof. There's an interesting graph. It's in today's pile of prep at MikeChurch.com if you're into that sort of thing. I'll pop it in the chat room. This is a graph that shows what you could do, or did you already throw it in there? Yeah, well, here, I got it. What you could do with, okay, there you go. $50,000 worth of lumber. It shows what you could have built 1 year ago as opposed to what you can build today. So at the bottom part of the graph, you see that you could have built uno, dos, tres, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine, wait a minute, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 10 and a quarter houses.